Hi everyone, welcome to the Spiritual Hub podcast series where we discuss all things spiritual. My name is Rima Monteleone, I'm a psychic medium and a healer.
And my name is Narelle Monteleone and I'm a channel, healer and an ascension guide. Today we're going to be talking about mediumship. And as this is Remo's main area of focus as a psychic medium, I thought it would be a good idea for me to simply ask him some questions and he can talk about what he knows about mediumship, his experiences from a personal perspective, and we'll just see where the conversation goes from there. Remo?
Hi everybody. Yes, I'm really looking forward to this one. It's like I'm being interviewed.
Okay, so we'll get started. So I guess we'll just start right at the beginning. And if you could just give a brief description of what mediumship actually is, just for anyone who might not already know what it is or they're not familiar with mediumship.
Sure. Okay. Well, mediumship, I guess putting it simply, is connecting with the energy of loved ones that have passed, people that have passed. And, you know, firstly, it does give us proof of survival after physical death. You know, there has been a lot of evidence, and there is actually so much evidence now of people bringing through information that they couldn't possibly know. And yes, you know, there are skeptics out there, there always will be, and I guess that is a good thing because it keeps us questioning and asking. And but essentially, mediumship is that communication with people in the spirit world, people that have passed. Usually we know the people, sometimes we don't, but we know of them. And you know, the term psychic medium is often used, so a psychic reading would then be tuning into someone's energy, the energy of their soul, their auric field, and seeing what's happening in their life, say around their well-being, for example, or their work, or relationships with other people, things like that. So there is a distinction, and I believe all mediums are psychic, but all psychics are not necessarily mediums. So just wanted to clarify that as well, but we will focus on the mediumship today.
Okay, so I have a question around that. So sure. In having said that, not everyone is a medium, but everyone is psychic. Would you say that if someone was really, really, really had their heart set on becoming a medium, doing mediumship, do you think that they can eventually develop as a medium?
Personally, I believe in nearly all cases, yes. You know, I believe we have that ability. It's an innate ability. 'Cause I'd like to put in a definition of mediumship that I read. I like to say a definition. It's not mine. I saw it somewhere and it said, mediumship is the grace of communication with ourselves, the spirit world, and the world around us. So in that communication with ourselves, and if someone, for example, is doing psychic work, they are meditating, they are sitting quietly, I believe that more often than not, they will be touched by the spirit world. You know, even Buddhists have a practice where they sit in silence and they're instructed not to connect with the spirit, because it is a sitting in silence meditation, but sitting in silence leads you there. So they're acknowledging, you know, one important thing that I believe people should think about and process: mediumship is a natural phenomena. It's a natural thing. So being a natural thing, it's not something that we're inventing, it's something that we're understanding and trying to access. So yeah, I do believe in most cases people could. I do believe the extent to which they can, the depth of it, the information they may get, the sort of communication that they may receive will vary with people. It is like, you know, the analogy I've used before, it is like running. You know, we can all do that, but some will be faster, better at long distance, better at short distance. So it will vary. But personally, I'd have to say yes.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to jump in there and just give a little bit of an experience of mine. So Just for anyone out there who's thinking, oh, you know, I don't know if it's something that everyone can do, I also agree that it is something, in my opinion, I feel like everyone has the capability of doing it, but I do feel like some people are a lot more natural. So using Remo and I as an example, I would say that I've had some mediumship experiences, but I would say that it does not come naturally to me like it comes naturally to Remo. So for that reason, I don't feel sort of compelled to really pursue that now. But I do feel like if it was something that I really had my heart set on wanting to do and I really, really worked on it, I feel like it would develop to a point. That's my feeling on it anyway. I feel like it's there, available to you like everything is, but it does definitely come a lot more easier and a lot more naturally for some people. So It definitely, with you and I, it definitely happened a lot more easily for you and just was like a natural thing for you to open up to mediumship, where it wasn't for me.
That is true. I would have to agree. It would come more naturally for some.
Yeah.
And some people will develop quicker and some people will join a circle and they will appear to be so much more advanced than others that have been in that circle, say, maybe for a year or two. But also, you know, it's... I guess there are a lot of factors which contribute to that. I guess how receptive the person is and the person's reactions to it. You know, when I first started having experiences, I wasn't afraid. I was cautious, maybe hesitant. Cautiously hesitant, I guess, is a good way to put it. But I wasn't afraid. I was kind of excited. I thought, oh, wow, you know, what's happening? What's this? And I was wanting to explore it. But also, sometimes I believe you can focus too much on being a medium. You know, And I get that, and I've probably gone through that myself, where you get so excited by it, you love it, you want to do it, and you just try so hard and focus so hard on being a medium. But I believe 50% of it, and maybe some people would argue more, it is very, very debatable, but it is about focus on self, self-development, self-healing, self-growth. And if you focus on being a medium and leave yourself by the wayside, I don't believe that you'll be as good a medium as you can be, because, you know, as I said, it is communication with spirit, but spirit's using us as the tool to bring the communication through. So if we are not in as good a state as we can be, and that state is constantly growing and evolving and constantly getting better, then I believe that will impact on the communication that you have. So we can't forget about ourselves on this journey of wanting to be a medium.
Yeah, that's a good point that Remo makes. It's the same with psychic abilities, I feel. If you're doing psychic readings, it's similar in that way, that you really need to be, or any sort of healer or psychic or medium, channel, whatever area it is that you are developing or working in, it is really vital that you work on yourself constantly. It's an ever-evolving process, because everything that comes through us as the vessel in some way is going to be filtered based on our belief systems and our own experiences. So you can tell yourself that you're completely detached from all of that and, you know, you're only focusing on the messages coming through. But to some degree, even if it's only small, it is going to be filtered through you and through your perception and through your level of perception. So, you know, even learning and growing and studying is another really good thing to do, because it expands your awareness of the world and the universe. And the more knowledge that you have, the more that spirit has to work with and to show you through symbolism and the messages that you'll receive. So that's just, I think that's a really important point. But I just want to ask you, Remo, What would you say to somebody if they're starting to have mediumship experiences and but they kind of want to get a bit more of an understanding of what's happening? Maybe talk about what you did in terms of like where you were led and what you did to develop your mediumship skills.
Yeah, that's a good question, because sometimes, you know, if you have, say, for example, I'll use clairvoyance or clairseeing because it is the most talked about one. If you have a clairvoyant experience and you do see someone in spirit, you know, I mean, I wouldn't write, if knowing what I know now, if I had have had a clairvoyant experience, I wouldn't have run off and said, oh, wow, I'm a medium. I feel there's a lot more to it than that. Having a clairvoyant experience is part of it. But, you know, the mediumship, again, I feel we need to, one, focus on ourselves and focus on what spirit is trying to bring through, you know, when we are doing a mediumship reading. So, you know, there is a lot more to it than just having a clairvoyant experience. It is about the communication, building the communication, bringing that message through. But having said that, it starts with something. It may be a clairvoyant experience. It may be dreams. It may be a clairaudient experience where you hear voices. You might smell things around the house. You know, you might just get a feeling. You might just think to yourself, you know, you might get goosebumps on or the hairs on the back of your neck might stand up, and you may feel like there's someone in the room and you just want to turn around and double check that there is no one in the room, even though you know there's no one physically there. Those sort of things. It's very individual. It's very different. It can come at any age, at any time. You know, the most common, I guess, again, talked about scenario is that it's triggered by an event, whether it be a traumatic event, someone passing, or a near-death experience. It could also be a happy event as well. And I feel, you know, television tends to focus on those dramatic, traumatic kind of events, but it can also be happiness and bliss that triggers us starting to have experiences.
It can also be you just haven't closed down as a child and you've kept that open, that channel open your whole life. So a lot of people say, oh, I've been like this my whole life. Yes. I don't know anything different. So there's also that
yeah,
side to
yeah,
it
exactly,
too.
Exactly. Because I believe as kids we are more open to it. You know, there is an innocence there, and the mind hasn't been clouded with, you know, with everything that we go through in life, school and work and relationships, etc. But I guess my story, you know, yes, it did happen all of a sudden, but I feel it was a culmination of events, and I feel that is often the case. And I've said this before, the straw that breaks the camel's back. I feel we reach a point where we are ready and we have had enough experiences. And again, too, you know, if you start having these experiences, it doesn't mean you're going to be a practicing psychic medium or a medium or a psychic. That's only if you want to. It just means that you should be able then to be a more intuitive person in everything that you do in life by being aware of the connection you have with spirit and the messages that you can receive. But for me, yes, it happened all of a sudden. It started with dreams. The dreams were so vivid that I was waking up always at the same time. Every single morning. It persisted for about 2 weeks, and they were so vivid it got to the stage where I would wake up, close my eyes, the dream would start again where it had stopped, and then I'd open my eyes and I could still see the dream. So it was a clairvoyant experience, and it just kept going and going until I made some inquiries about it. I asked Narelle, who was in a spiritual development circle at the time, and her teacher was a medium, and I had a chat to her and she explained a few things, because, you know, I was someone that had never had a reading. I didn't disbelieve in it. I certainly believed in the afterlife and that there was more than the physical, but I never looked into it. I never did anything in terms of study. So it just happened very, very subtly, and it was a roller coaster. And then I wanted to do what I'm doing. I wanted to be a psychic medium. So there was that drive inside for me to do that. And the main reason was because I realized it was a way to help people and heal people as well. And that's where the healing of self comes into it. But yeah, if you are having experiences, you know, I would certainly, I think it would be beneficial to, if you have someone you can ask about these experiences, or a group you can join, or friends that are like-minded. Because even if you just talk about these experiences, it is good. It is good, rather than just holding everything in.
Well, the good thing is there's so many more people that you can connect with now than, say, even 10 or 20 years ago. So whereas at one time it was like a real kind of taboo kind of topic.
Kind of, yeah.
Now there's just everywhere. You only have to go online and there's people, you know, spiritual teachers and mediumship courses and classes, and there's so many places that you can reach out and connect with people even online if you can't do it in person. I would probably recommend finding a circle that you can go to, or you can even go to the spiritualist churches if you have one sort of close by, and they'll be able to kind of head you in the right direction of, at the very least, knowing that there's a place where you feel accepted and you're not, you know, you're not weird for having these experiences or talking openly about what you're going through. Because I feel that it would be very difficult if you feel like you're on your own, and at times you can feel like you know, might be judged and maybe even question yourself whether you're going nuts, because it can be a bit overwhelming with some of the experiences that you're having. So definitely find your tribe, wherever they may be. Just get online, type in mediumship classes or mediumship circles or spiritual circles or whatever it might be that you're going through, and just you know, you'll definitely find the people that you're meant to. You're always crossing paths with you know, your soul group, your soul family, so you will find your place. But to begin with, I would probably say, just touching on what you said about meditation, definitely take time to start working on yourself and meditating each day, making sure that you're grounding, being present, and practicing mindfulness. That way, at least, you know, when you do have these experiences, that you're in a space of, you know, being connected to the earth. You're in the here and now. You don't want to start to feel sort of too floaty and off in head in the clouds. I've kind of experienced that myself quite a bit. So if you're someone like me that's very tends to be very ungrounded and out of body a lot, make sure you're grounding regularly, even if it's multiple times a day, just so your connection is strong to the earth. So then when you do bring messages through, they're coming through in a grounded way and a practical way. So what else are we going to talk about, Remo?
Did you have any other questions?
Yes, I do. Have a think. So, okay, so they've gone along somewhere, they found their place. How long should they wait? I mean, their teacher's going to direct them with all of this anyway, but is this something they should jump straight up onto platform and start doing it, or is there a certain amount of time they need to study first?
Well, I guess, you know, there's no set time. Like, you know, I wouldn't want to say to someone you should wait 6 months or a year. It's different for everybody. But no, you certainly shouldn't jump straight onto platform and start doing readings, because it is a very sensitive state that you are in. And, you know, information is not always, you're not always perceiving information correctly and receiving information correctly. So those no's can be a bit disheartening when you first start. But it is part of the process. It's, you know, my focus is, you know, not to go out there and be 100% perfect with everything that I say. It is about trying to capture the essence of that person in spirit firstly, and then blending with them and capturing that essence, and then through that essence, through the capturing of that essence and that experience, and bringing through the messages. And, you know, it is a three-way communication, because you've got yourself, you've got the spirit, and you've got the person you're doing the reading for. So it does take a little bit of practice to get into that state where you're aware of yourself, you're aware of the person, and you're aware of the spirit, and you're working with the three. And it's about, you know, making, giving the person something beneficial. So satisfying the person, satisfying yourself as a medium, that you've done the best you can do in that particular reading. And also the spirit, you know, is the spirit happy? Has the spirit said everything that they want to say? But I believe, yes, I believe you'll be guided by your teacher if you do join a circle. And I'm still in a circle. It's been over 3 years that I've been sitting in circles. And, you know, I don't know if I'll be doing that for another 10 years or whatever. But there's no, I don't see myself stopping doing that now. I do it once a week. And I find it really, really good, because it is a space where we all get together, we all talk, we practice, and we learn something every week. So I would say, you know, it's always nerve-wracking the first time you do a reading, the first time you get up on platform. Certainly probably even more nerve-wracking, because there's a lot more people there. But, you know, the first one you do, you could start doing them on a donation basis, or offering free readings for a little while, and finding your feet that way, getting a bit more comfortable that way, and building it up. If that's something that you're drawn to do, if you feel you really want to go out there and do psychic and mediumistic readings on a professional level, I believe it's something that you work up to, you build up to that. I don't think it's a case of sitting in circle for 2 years or in a class for 2 years and then just jumping straight out and offering readings. I think it makes more sense, to me personally anyway, to start offering those readings on a donation basis, or even free readings, and work your way up as your confidence builds.
Okay, what about the ethical side of it? What would you have to say about that? About, you know, you doing readings for someone, are there certain things that you wouldn't just tell somebody?
Definitely, yeah. It is a big responsibility. Discernment plays a big part, and you know, people, let's face it, people come to get a reading because there's something wrong, or you know, they're in a bit of a stressed state or a depressed state or a sad state, someone's passed, and sometimes people just come, you know, they want a general reading and a bit of a healing, but generally there's something they're not happy about. So certainly, yes, discernment, it plays a big part. And again, that's where being in a group situation, in a class or a circle situation, does help with that, because you will be guided by your teacher and by the other students. And, you know, if you do receive a message or perceive something that does appear to be, you know, something that you shouldn't say, I believe you reach a comfortable point where you just know, okay, I'm not going to say that, or I shouldn't say that. You know, it's like your gut kicks in and you just know. But again, that comes through experience and practice, and you know, it's an ongoing journey. It's something, I believe, being a psychic medium, something that is always evolving, because we're always evolving as a person, and that depth of communication will grow as we grow and heal as well.
Yeah, you do. I mean, I've heard some dreadful stories about people being told certain things in readings that, you know, they've walked away completely devastated, or, you know, full of fear and panic about that are potentially going to happen that have been told to them by a psychic or a medium. And so that was something when I sat in circles, spiritual development circles, that our teacher was very very definite about, you know, what the sort of things that you should tell somebody and the sort of things you definitely shouldn't tell somebody. And you know, the thing is with psychic readings, things change moment to moment, so something that might be true as a potential outcome in this moment, 5 minutes from now might change based on that person's experiences or thoughts or beliefs. So nothing's set in stone. And this is just, you know, when you're doing readings for people, you're just seeing possible outcomes. They're not 100% guaranteed to happen because we all have free will. So things can change on a second. So telling somebody that you see a terminal illness or something like that is really not a good thing to do, because that person has the ability to heal their body. Our bodies can heal ourselves. But based on that person's belief systems, that's what will probably determine the outcome of that. So if you tell somebody that they're going to die, then their mind is going to tell themselves that they're dying. And so, of course, that will eventually play out and probably come true. So, yeah, whether it's a mediumship reading or a psychic reading or an energy healing or a channeling session or whatever it is you're experiencing, I would definitely just be really wary of whatever side of that coin you're on, whether you're giving the reading, whether you're the medium, the psychic, or the channel or healer, or whether you're the one receiving it. Just be really discerning about the information, because again, it's being filtered through that person's level of perception and they don't know everything. And so, again, we have free will, so we have the opportunity to change anything in our life in any moment. So I would definitely never go down that road of telling, you know, diagnosing people with health conditions. You can sort of, you know, if something comes up and you are getting a message that there's something going on, you can just in a calm and sort of casual way, just kind of prompt them to go and get something checked out and let them know that it would be a good idea to get something looked at, but, you know, not telling them that something is going to happen. The same is true for if you see that somebody's going to pass away that they know, or that, you know, something like that. Definitely don't do that. So I feel like the golden rule is people should be leaving you after having a session with you feeling a lot better than they did when they arrived, not the other way around. So if you use that as your guide, you can't really go wrong, I don't think.
Yeah, I would agree with that. They have to leave feeling better than when they arrived, because, you know, that's what they've come to you for. And I feel it's important to keep something in mind, you know, realistically speaking, just because someone is a spiritual person and they are offering a spiritual service, you know, unfortunately, you know, like in every industry, there are shonky people.
Yeah.
I guess it's the only word for it. So, you know, if something doesn't sit right with you, if you're in a class or you're in a learning group situation, whatever it is, you know, you've also got to trust yourself. And no one's a guru. No one knows it all. But it's intention that matters. You know, you've got to have the right intention. And as a teacher, I mean, I'm not a teacher, but as a teacher, I feel you would have to have the intention of, you know, teaching people what you believe to be right. Mm. And, you know, for their better good, and then for the good of others that they come into contact with. So if it doesn't sit right with you, if something doesn't feel right, then, you know, I would say stop going to that class. Stop attending that class. And people that talk in absolutes, I don't think that is a good sign either, because, you know, things change. Our perception changes. Things are slightly different for everybody. Things work slightly different for everybody. And, you know, someone should be bringing out the best in you as an individual. Yes, there are certain rules of thumb, and there's even a science to this, you know. But generally speaking, you know, they should be trying to bring out the best in you as an individual, and encompassing those rules of thumb as well.
Yep. Okay, well, I think we'll leave it there for today, and I hope
finish
that,
up there.
Yeah, I hope that's given you something to think about and some tips to work with if you're on the path of mediumship, or even if you're just someone who likes to go and get readings, just to sort of be mindful of the readers that you're going to and the information that you're receiving, and also that it's not like super easy for the mediums either. Like, it takes work, it takes a lot of energy to do it. And so I think sometimes people think, oh, it's just, you know, it's so easy, you click your fingers and they just get all this information, but it's not. I've seen Remo work really hard, and you know, all the time and energy that he puts into working on himself and meditating every day and sitting in the power and all of that, it's a real commitment. So yeah, so we'll see you next time, and I think Remo might ask me some questions on the next podcast as well.
We can do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.
Bye.